Hello, Zoe. You're very welcome to this week's podcast. Can you firstly tell me about your business and who you help and how you help businesses?
Hi, yeah, thank you so much for having me, Rosemary. Yeah, my name's Zoe Bishop, and I'm owner of Torchlight Marketing, which is a copywriting business service. So I help small to medium businesses in the wellness industry, and I help those types of businesses effectively communicate with their ideal clients and give them a consistent online presence through the copywriting services that I offer. I help them grow business and attract ideal clients. I help them develop stronger relationships with customers, and I can help them showcase their business and organizations and highlight the successes that they're actually having. So I do that through a variety of ways, which is individual service elements, like specific things that they might want help with, like LinkedIn posts, website copy. I can provide copywriting packages, and I can do things that are either once off or monthly ongoing packages.
Great, very helpful, because as we know, many people can have writer's block and also they just don't have time to do copywriting, etc. Now, we decided when we were planning this podcast to talk about blogging, etc. Now, I found a stat about the internet for 2022, which is this year. And what it is 77% of internet users read blogs. So that's an awful lot of people. And 68.5% of people feel that if they go to a website and there is a blog, that is more credibility. And obviously, if there's credibility, that breeds trust. And if we can breed trust, then obviously we're more likely to do business with that business. So all of a sudden, I'm a business owner. And I decide I'm going to write a blog. And for a lot of people, that is overwhelm. Where do I start and how do I start? So obviously, Zoe, to write a blog, you have to have a plan. It's like to do anything. So if you were to write a blog for your health and wellness business, how would you suggest, like, what would the goal be? Like, why would I write a blog for my health and well-being business? And what kind of goals could I have if I was to write a blog post?
Okay, yeah, firstly, I love that statistic. I think that's great. And it's such a good example and demonstrates why it's so important to keep them up to date and keep adding to them. Because I'm sure like a lot of people might go to a blog and if it's dated, you know, 2018, suddenly, maybe it's not quite so relevant, or it's not, you know, as up to date as what they thought. So I love that statistic. And I just think it really highlights the importance of keeping them relevant and keeping them up to date. But yeah, going back to your question, I think it's really important to know where you're going with something and what you want it to achieve. So just as an example, like, I think back in November, I blogged around, you know, 8 ways to kickstart your marketing copy. And sort of what I wanted to achieve from that is I wanted the article to provide some key nuggets of copywriting advice that wellness business owners, you know, would find useful and may want to try. You know, I wanted to give some tips on how to get into the writing zone and provide some ideas that help, you know, me personally produce good content. It's always good to share knowledge. And I always find like blog posts are a great way of answering a question that you might get asked from your ideal clients. And, you know, also you need to have a piece that's, you know, focused and has some clarity. So that's an example of just what I wanted that piece to achieve, because I knew that they're the kind of things that my ideal clients would look for. Another example I've written around is what to post on LinkedIn and 4 ideas, you know, to inspire you. So with that piece, I really just wanted to give someone who, like we're talking now, maybe it's not giving it a lot of thought. You know, what do they need to think about to make their LinkedIn posts engaging? You know, what to think about just to get them started. So really, like a blog post for me. It's just a great way to share your knowledge, give an answer to a question, and just basically showcase, you know, a tip or some how-tos, or just a really good way to talk to your ideal clients so they can get to know you and get to know some of the knowledge that you have around an area that they're interested in.
Yeah, very much so, because it builds a lot of trust. It's like Google made some changes which affected websites, and I actually wrote a blog about that. And again, that built trust because it affected websites being found and ranking and all that kind of thing. So if we can make it relevant for our target audience, very important. Now, online, I call them scanners and skimmers. That's what you've really gone to all this effort. You've written your blog, put in, and if the headline doesn't get your attention, to the scanners and skimmers, they might not touch your body copy. So obviously, to write headlines that will attract people to open your content is actually vital. Otherwise, all your effort and all is lost. So would you have any recommendations how you would approach writing a headline?
Yeah, got a few tips on that one. So obviously, include keywords that you know your audience will be looking for, which again, like you've just kind of touched on, that's also good for your SEO as well. Personally, I like using the word you. So you're immediately like talking to your reader. You need to make it sound interesting, something that grabs your attention. In the past, I've posed questions to get them thinking, to draw them in, so that you're actually posing a question that they're going to get the answer to. So you're actually giving them a bit of a teaser in terms of, you know, what you're going to talk about in that blog post and what they should get by the end. And a headline should, I think, like offer the reader some value.
Okay, now, so we've got our headline. Now, obviously, a lot of people are very busy. So if you don't give me a good reason to continue reading, like I think a nice introduction, this blog post is going to be about this, and then I have X problem. So would you have any advice about how to format the blog post, like an introduction, that will tempt me to continue reading your blog post?
Yeah, absolutely. And a good introduction like will summarize what the reader's going to get. And it needs to be unique so that you're not kind of what I've seen before, you're not repeating a paragraph. So it's not just like repeating, you know, condensing your whole blog post just into a short paragraph as an intro. It needs to be unique and it needs to kind of really get people interested in what you're about to say. And it should be direct and focused on the end results, you know, that you want for your ideal clients. For example, like, you know, engaging blog post copy, and how do you write that? So you need to just make it unique and make it interesting and make them want to continue more, so they can then answer the problem that they have.
Okay, that's an introduction. Now we go to the main copy of the blog.
Yeah.
So what advice would you have for the main copy?
Okay, so the main copy. So what I tend to do is I structure it in a way. So you need to present the pain point, the problem, or the challenge through a story or an experience. So that could be just taking one of my other recent blog posts, for example, talking about self-investment. So that was kind of like a challenge for me. And it was also a problem I was facing as a small business owner. So I kind of talked through that problem first. Then you want to present your strategic solutions using headlines and bullet points. So again, going back to that blog, I then presented four things that I chose to do as a business owner, you know, to help my business grow and to help, you know, me individually develop, you know, my skills as a business owner. Then you want to tell the reader the results you've seen from implementing each solution. So what I did with that is I spoke about four different areas, and I actually gave the reader a real life example of I did X, this is what happened. So you're actually like visualizing, you know, what happened, the story, and how it actually helped. And each point you should try, it should flow like to and from. And by using numbers, your reader will know whereabouts they are in the piece, helping them decide if they want to continue reading. So that's kind of, you know, your bits where you're implementing each solution. And then I always try to present one extra bonus thought as well, like just to really like hammer home the points that you've been making. And then I also try and give some action steps to encourage the reader to do something about what they've read, which I can find is really useful. So just going back to the self-investment blog post that I wrote, I finished with, are you fired up after reading this? Here are five suggestions to help you move forward. And then just listed a few things. And this is not being salesy. This is not being pushy. It's just advice so that the reader starts to trust you and value your opinion. Then comes your call to action, which I think we'll talk about in a minute. And then I always try and finish with the final statement about how the result is possible. So say, you know, your problem at the top is you haven't got time to do any copywriting, but then finish with a call to a final statement about at the bottom where, you know, you can see by using my services, I can help you, you know, with the problem that you have. And then finally, if you do have a freebie or anything that you're offering, this comes at the bottom as an option, kind of like a banner or a footer. So that's kind of how I structure, you know, all the blog posts that I write, whether that's myself or whether that's for my clients.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, because one thing what you're saying is simplify. Because when you simplify something, it's easier to understand. So at the end of it, you're giving some kind of instructions of, okay, if this problem, so obviously you could say, here's one solution, I'll help you write it. Two, I will write it. Three, I just do everything and you walk away. Yeah, so you're giving solutions.
Yeah.
And that's the call to action for a business. Now, obviously, businesses have different formatting and style and branding and how they approach things. The call to action, would you consider it should just be put at the bottom of the blog post, or should it be spread throughout the blog post?
There's arguments like for both. What I have done in the past is I have tended to put the call to action like at the bottom, but I've also included other bits of calls to actions like further up the blog post. So for example, I've linked to a previous blog post where if I'm talking about one topic, but they want to learn a bit more about that particular area, then I put the link in to another blog post that then talks about that. So I think just as an example, in a couple of my blog posts, I talk about buyer personas, really understanding your customer. So I would then link that to a previous blog post that I've written that really goes into detail about that. So you put a CTA call to action within the blog post, but it's like it's up to them. It's just giving them extra information if that's something they're like, oh, I'm really interested in that, or I'm not sure what you mean by that. And then you're just giving them an extra opportunity to find out even more. So I would potentially do that. Some people do put things in the middle of a blog post, but traditionally I tend to put them at the end so that you've presented everything, like we just spoke about the structure, and then you have that clear like call to action in terms of, you know, where you want them to go next. I just find that's the best way to do it. That's worked for me.
We all have to work out what is the best fit and obviously what piece of content we're creating, because that obviously will affect how we approach call to action. Now, one thing I think is very important, you will as well, is proofreading. And I'm sure it's exactly the same for you. Like you walk away, for me, it would be going for a walk with my dog or whatever. Then you go back. And because we might think something's brilliant, and after being away from it for half an hour, we could say, oh no, it's not so good. But quite often, if you've written it, you might have a blind side that you don't see you've made some kind of mistake where someone else can see it. So would you have any advice for proofreading, you know, that we don't miss a mistake? Because a good example of it is, even if, like, I make training videos, and if you are making a video, for instance, and you make a mistake somewhere, if you actually stop yourself and then do it again, you make a mistake at the same place. So if you just actually keep going, and then even if you start again, you won't make the mistake and you'll get the work done quicker. So it's kind of the same principle. We don't always see our mistakes. And that is, you know, for proofreading matters a lot. So what would your recommendations, and would you have any tools that can help?
Or anything? Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the best things that you can do, which a lot of people really hate doing, but is the really good, is read it out loud. Read it out loud to yourself, because I do that with everything, blog posts, LinkedIn posts, website, so that you're actually hearing the words, because what I found is you pick up things more than if you're just scanning and reading in your head. So yeah, firstly, I'd say read it back to yourself out loud. I would always get somebody to proofread it for me before I hit that publish button. Just because, like you said, sometimes, and particularly when you're writing for yourself, for your own business, you can just miss things, or you can understand it because you're writing it. But perhaps, you know, if you share it to someone else, they would be like, oh, I'm not, you know, what do you mean by that? You might need to elaborate on that. So I've got a couple of people that I would always send my blog post to just before I hit publish, just to get that sense check for it. And the other thing that I use, and that is a good recommendation, is Grammarly, which can help you pick up just typos, grammar, spelling mistakes. That's quite a good one. There's a free version, and there's also a premium version where I think it makes suggestions for you and can give you more ideas to change phrases around. I don't use the premium one, but it's good to have a tool like that, just to make sure that, you know, you're not making any spelling mistakes, because that, as a copywriter, is just one of the biggest things. I always think, if I ever make a typo in anything, I'm never going to get another job. You're like, oh, you're a copywriter, you know, but we are all human.
Yeah.
You know, and copywriters, I'm going to say it here now, copywriters do make typos. Fact. So those little tools and tips are just a great way of avoiding them from being published. And the other thing I would say is, like, depending on your audience, check certain words. So are you in the US market? Are you in the UK market? Because there are, you know, the spellings of like color, favor, organize. Just make sure that you're using, you know, the right words for your audience.
Yeah, and also buzzwords. Buzzwords can be great things, but they can be terrible things as well. Or industry words, because you and I could use words like SEO for argument.
Yeah, SEO, CTA. Yeah.
Yeah, all of this. But our customers don't necessarily use all those words. Yeah. So it's understanding when we use those words and it's relevant to use them, and when it is to simplify the language. Not saying that people reading the posts aren't intelligent. Obviously they are. Mm-hmm. But they might, if you don't understand a word quickly, you could lose the whole meaning of the piece.
Yeah.
So that would be another thing I would say. No, they're actually great, great tips. Thank you very much. And I use Grammarly as well. You know, it's a very handy tool. So what would your advice be for businesses to try, because we all want to try now and going forward? Zoe?
So I think firstly, just have a go. Like, have a go. You know, you don't ever know until you try something. So, obviously, you know, owning your own wellness business or whatever business you own, you're passionate about what you do. So I know some people find it easy to write about what they're really passionate about. So just have a go and think about it from your ideal client's point of view, not your own. That would be a really big tip of mine. I'd also say, read my 8 ways to kickstart your marketing copy blog post, just to give you some ideas, just to give you something, you know, to start from. Offer value, like offer your reader and your ideal client some value. And just like with all these things, it's just considering them, just thinking about them. Make them keyword rich and answer those pain points through the blog post that you're writing. So if there's particularly, you know, one question that you get asked all the time, what is it that your products can do to help me X or Y? And then just think about those questions that you're consistently getting asked and then try and turn that into, you know, a blog post. That would be, you know, a suggestion. And the other thing that I think people forget about is they think, oh, I've written this long blog post, that's it. You know, it's live, it's done. I don't have to look at it again. But actually, from a content point of view, blog posts can be repurposed and they can be, cut down to put as a post on LinkedIn, or they can be made into a social graphic. You can take a quote out of your blog post. So there's so many different things that you can do with a blog post. And what a lot of people do and what I've done in the past is you just, for say like for 1 month, you can take your blog post and then repurpose it and use it in different ways, which probably you'll know, Rosemary, from Canva. You can do so many different things, you know, from it, using the copy and the content that you've already written.
Very much so. Like even this podcast is going to be put in a blog post.
Yeah.
And obviously the podcast can be shared by itself. It can be shared in the blog post. Then you can have things like audiograms and all these other things. So there's, and then that being created into a video. It's so many things, or infographics, content from your blog post turned into an infographic. There are so many ways, bar what I would say, you have to have a system, because there's no point trying to do absolutely everything if you've no system, because then it won't happen. It'll just be thoughts in your head. No, that's great, Zoe.
The other few things that I'd just add to is also keep persevering, because the more that you write, the more natural it will become. So even if you find it really difficult to start with your first one, and then then do the next one, then move on. Just keep persevering with it, and you know, review what people are liking, and you know, test different topics. And as with all different types of marketing, some things are going to work, some things are going to get great engagement. Other things, you know, you might not get as good a engagement, but you might get that one person that's read your blog post that then connects with you. And again, it's all about the trust and the relationship. So it's just, you know, it's always about trial and error and testing and just reacting, you know, to what your ideal clients like. Even a good idea to put up on your socials, you know, what would you like me to blog? What would you like me to blog around? Give me some questions, you know, give me some areas, give me some topics. Also be topical. For example, you know, if there were some statistics that have been released about burnout and you're a well-being coach, you know, maybe you might want to blog around, you know, those statistics and how, you know, you can offer some advice and some tips, you know, around that. I think there's so many, you know, different ways, you know, that you can do it, and it's not as hard as, you know, what you may think. It's just brainstorming and creating.
Oh, yeah. And it can get people's attention. Like, I don't know if you know this stat, but 54% of Google's workforce are independent contractors or freelancers. It's quite an amazing statistic. Yeah. That came from Bloomberg, actually. So the point is that could get people's attention. Like, is that the direction business is going, or how people run business and all. So obviously relevant stats. Now, I obviously work for freelancers and health and well-being and things like that. And there, you know, you can say even a therapist is like a freelancer in a lot of ways, how their business is structured and all. So when you can bring a relevant stat, as you say, that'll get the attention of the target market. You know, can be very effective as well, even how we started this podcast with a stat.
It's just great, and it does, and it kind of just gives so many different avenues that you can then comment on, tweak it on, and just gives you something topical that, you know, there is interest in that because it's you know, sort of been around.
Yeah, and also that any sources like that you're using from credible, like Bloomberg is Bloomberg.
Yeah.
You know, people can go and check that. They don't have to listen to me. They can go on Google. They can check it and see, yes, Bloomberg did come up with that stat. So, no, that's great, Zoe. And I'd like to say a special thank you very much for your time today. And I'd like to wish you continued success in your business. And both of us are connected on LinkedIn, so I look forward to seeing your posts on LinkedIn. And obviously, we will continue to be in touch and be talking, etc. So you take care, and thank you very much, Zoe.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been a real delight.
Pleasure.
Many thanks for listening to this podcast. This is Rosemary O'Shaughnessy, Digital Content Manager, .ie. I work for freelancers, health and wellness professionals. I design WordPress websites. I'm a Canva champion. I offer LinkedIn training, digital and visual content. Contact me to arrange a Zoom call to learn how I can help you and your business. Wishing you success in 2022. Take care.